Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Every meeting has most certainly been different, wonderfully so. Sunday morning, even the two morning sessions were so different in their expression. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit and His creativity. When it comes to the prophetic expression, I'm not talking about teaching. This is beautiful, of course. Thank God for the teacher. Thank God for the pastor. Thank God for the evangelist, but also thank God for the prophet. Thank God for the apostolic expression too, which I do not carry, but I just say. But when we talk about the prophetic expression, it's just, for me, just so different every meeting. It's never mundane. It's never the same. Sometimes even driving here, I don't have a cooking clue of what's going to happen. Because the only preparation I do is pray. Of course, you read the word, study the word, but you pray and you just trust God. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Just trust God, and not one night has He ever let me down. There have been a few occasions where He's told me I've got nothing to say to these people, and then I just walk out. I was invited to the inauguration of a huge church in the state of Louisiana, and the place was packed. It was a brand new building, beautiful building. A dear friend of mine, the senior pastor, dear friend of mine. We're still friends to this day. I've never been back to preach there, but we're still friends. But I was the keynote speaker, and I was actually on a fast. I was on about the 18th day of a fast, and one of my young disciples that Pastor Alex knows very well, Bruno, is out in Reunion Island, I'll be there next week, was with me. I was discipling him, and he was traveling with me, and I was training him to be a warrior, so I made him fly all the way from Reunion Island, which is in the Indian Ocean, about 4 hours off the south of the continent of Africa. And then he had to fly to Africa, and then from Africa to New York, and then from New York to Louisiana. And from the airport, I made him come from the airport to the meeting. For those of you who have ever traveled, that's quite a challenge, especially for a young man like him. He was a very thin young man, very small, thin little guy. To get wet in the shower, he has to jump around. And he's most probably watching me now. And he was to play the thingamajig. And I was having real conflict in the spirit, not with you guys now. This is beautiful. But I was having real conflict with the sound guy in the spirit and the drummer, not you. And not you, okay? You guys have done a great job, and I think you should give them all a great big God bless you. Thank you. Wonderful. And it was upsetting God to no end. It's amazing how it works. Attitude. You know, there's a Bible that says, be attitudes. The way you must be, attitude. The word attitude, the way of thinking. You get stinking thinking, you get okay thinking. Then you get a bad attitude. And poor old Bruno came in and got up there to play. And as I opened my Bible, I had this brilliant message. I must admit, it was fantastic. I couldn't wait to preach. And I'd heard people had traveled like 5 hours to get there. It's a big, huge building, huge church. And as I opened my Bible, God whispered in my ear and said, I have nothing to say to these people. It's kind of like you just pretend you don't hear, you know, you just. So I began to read, and God said, I told you I've got nothing to say to these people. So I closed my Bible, and I looked at everybody and said, God has nothing to say to you. And I walked out. And poor Bruno was busy playing the piano there, you know. So everybody was in shock. So was I, of course. But I mean, they were more in shock than I was, I suppose. I don't know. But I just walked, I stormed out. And he was busy playing. He just got there, the poor kid. He didn't know what on the planet Earth was going on. And everybody was staring at him. So when I finally got to the back there, I shouted, "Bruno, are you coming or are you staying?" So he jumped out from behind the piano, and he's a very small little French guy, you know, and he's very thin, and very academic. He's highly intelligent, one of the top 25 in his country, academic-wise. And he runs out like, and everybody stared at him. There was no love there, I can tell you that now. Just like with this incredible. And when he got outside, I said, "Listen, I'm going home with these people. I call her Ma. And I'm going to their house, and you're going to get a lift with these other guys. And I'm going into my room, and I'm locking my door. And I don't want to talk to anybody," because I knew they were going to rock up. But the mafia was going to rock up. Rock up, do you know that saying? Arrive. They shall arrive. So I got there, I locked myself in my room, and I jumped on my bed, and I took the covers and threw it over my head, and I was mad. I was mad with everybody. I was mad with the sound guy, the drummer. I was mad with God. I was mad with everybody. For those of you who think I'm being familiar, I'm not. The prophet Jeremiah wrote a whole book of his madness. It's called the Book of Lamentations. I was lamenting. There's a book in the Bible about it, okay? It helps me, all right? I was lamenting. I was upset. Of course I was upset. I felt like an idiot. I don't know why I'm telling you this story. Maybe it's because I couldn't open my computer. I don't know. Are you with me? Just relax. I ain't going anywhere, okay? Just calm down. There's a reason why these things happen. I don't prepare anything. Okay? So the next thing I heard, the doors closed and the pitter-patter of his little feet. And he came there behind the door and he knocked. I said, "I told you I don't want to speak to anybody." The next thing I heard, the cars. Not a car, cars. About 3-4 of them. And the doors open, slammed. And all these feet, like a whole army rocking up there, arriving there. And I heard them come in, and Bruno was standing by my little door, and I heard them talk to him in English and say, "We want to speak to Pastor Mark," where's this man? And they were going off, the elders, and I don't blame them. I'm also a senior pastor. I never fit if someone did that to me. Amen? But it wasn't me, it was God. But they're not upset with God, they're upset with me. So I hear Bruno. He tells lies. He stands there. He says, No, no parle anglais. No, we want to speak to money. No parle anglais. Years later, I said to him, he's having a massive move in the Indian Ocean. I said, you lied to the people like that. He said, "Yeah, I know. But what do you want me to do? You said that you mustn't come in." Amen. What was the moral of the story? Oh, here's the moral of the story. I heard, the next Sunday, we went to a small little church, and they brought a lady in on a stretcher. She'd been paralyzed for 4 years. Sunday morning, on top of it. We usually wait for God to move on a Sunday evening, but he can also move on a Sunday morning. Not that I'm just saying he can. And they put this lady in a stretcher in front there. This is a true story. So he's playing the piano like you play now. He's all upset now because I'm crazy, he thinks. This is madness. And he's just got married and his poor wife is at home in my place. My wife in Africa. And busy playing the piano. And God says to me, "I'm going to raise her up out of the stretcher." So I immediately go and he says, not yet. Call out people that have shoulder conditions. And what I didn't realize was that she and her brother, who was in the meeting, had been in a car accident. And he'd had so many surgeries on his shoulder that they couldn't fix it. And she obviously knew that, but I didn't know that. And he came out, and I prayed for him, and God did a miracle. Amen. Amen. And then suddenly, I looked at her, and God said, "Faith has arisen. Pray for her now." And I just walked up to her, and I said, "Be healed." I mean, it's very easy when God does that. You don't have to shout, but jump up and down. Just get up and walk. She didn't get up and walk. She got up and ran out. It was a tent on top of it. So my point is, you go to this huge, big place, and the people got bad attitudes, and God says, "I don't want to say anything here." You go to a little place in a tent next to the highway. Dear Lord God, a guy came out of the bush and said, when he walked into my meeting, he stood there and said, "I'm Satan. What are you going to do about it?" And God moves in there. And then years later, I found out. I went back to that region just after Hurricane Katrina. And I was there in the parish, which was worst hit. And they were telling me, you know, Mark, remember that time you came to Pastor So-and-so's church and you just walked out? I said, oh, you have to bring that up now. I don't really want to hear that story. He said, no, we must tell you the story. I said, no, I know the story. I was there. She said, no, you don't understand. There was a family there that had brought their wayward son, who must have been about 23, 24 years old, had brought him all the way from I don't know where in North America, driven I don't know how many hours. I really don't know. Let's say, to be conservative, about 5 hours. And they'd been to everybody in the country to try and see if this young man would be delivered of his rebellion and drug addiction and whatever else was going on there. Demons and all that stuff. And this family was mad. They were, is that okay if you say mad in America? They were really angry, upset. And they were freaking out and saying, hey, this guy comes all the way from Africa and we drive all the way there and he just walks out and what kind of preacher? And the story goes that they got in the car, the mom, the dad, and the son. He's in the back seat of the car. And they're busy driving. And the son is very quiet. And the mom and dad are going at it. They're really at it. Really upset. I don't blame them. When suddenly this young man on the back seat of the car begins to scream, stop the car. Stop the car. Stop the car. Now, I don't know what highway, what road, where they were, but they were able to pull the vehicle off and he falls out of the car. And he's on the side of the road. And he starts screaming out to God for salvation and screaming out to God for deliverance. And the demons are coming out of it. And his mom and dad are like, huh? Shocked. About 20, the story goes 25, 30 minutes or whatever. Suddenly he's shining like a light. He gets back in the car. The parents apparently on stunned silence and they eventually get the courage to go off. And while they're busy driving, the mother turns around to the son and says, what just happened to you? That guy walks out the service, doesn't even preach a message. What's going on? You know what that young man said? He said, that's the most real thing I've ever seen in church. And God used that to strike the demonic forces. Now, I don't know why I told you that story. Oh, I'll tell you why I told you that story, because I didn't walk out of any of your meetings this week, and it's been great. Amen? It tells me that, look, I'm being a little bit illustrative in my present moment. Everything else I've told you is true, with no exaggeration. But, you know, it's been beautiful. And it's my last night here, so I wanted to thank all of you. For those of you that have cooked meals for us, my goodness, I even had shepherd's pie. And I've had chicken wings, buffalo wings. Of course, if there's anybody that owns a Burger King here, Burger King, of course. And I just wanted, before I get into this thing tonight, this last night, just to say to you that I really appreciate all of you. And for those of you who've been coming out every night, we've had a wonderful night. Nights and God has prophesied and individual stuff for the nation, for the city. Some incredible things that I saw that I prophesied and predicted, it's just been wonderful. And I'd like to take this opportunity, being the last night, to thank the elders and all the Pastor Alex and the intercessors and all you precious people that are here. Thank you so very much for being such a blessing to me. And tonight I'm eating sushi. And for the person that made the sushi, thank you very, very much. Amen. And I better not forget this, otherwise I will be in so much trouble. My pastor, since my rebirth into the kingdom, which is almost 30 years, I've only had one pastor. I hope he's not watching. He's a very difficult man, but he's a general. And I came off the streets as an ex-beggar, vagrant. I was a hobo. Is that the right word you call them? I don't have the time to tell my testimony. Well, one day we'll do it. But the fact of the matter is that I met him, and that was the end of my little darkness. And anyway, he said to me, and he's also past, Alex's past has been since he was at school. Alex was telling me, I went to preach and you were, what do you call it, standard? 13 years old when he first heard me preach. And look how old he is now. you're such a listen, I love the United States of America. I was given a green card. I could have lived here years ago. But God told me to go back to Africa, which I was not impressed about at all. I still said, Lord, I'll go back for 3 years and that's it. I'm coming back to America. Well, that was about 20 years ago. And so I've had to do my thing in Africa, which has been great. But I love coming to America. I love the American people. I love the nation of America. You guys must really thank God for what you have, because it's a beautiful nation with a beautiful people. And I know some Americans don't like me to say that, but I disagree with some Americans that think this is a terrible country. I don't think so at all. So let me get into what I believe. I said to you last night, I want to minister a short word to you tonight, and then I want to minister and pray for all of you. Amen. And I just, before I got into this, the Word of God, I just in my humanity wanted to say thank you very much for your love and for your support and the team here. This is a very young church. 2 years is very young. And I know what it is to plant and establish churches. And I think you all are doing such a wonderful job. You really are doing a great work. Well done. And from Pastor Harold Weitz, will be coming later this year, a very dangerous man, mind you, 70 years old, and he puts us to shame. He has more energy than those of us that are 40, 50 when it comes to preaching. That guy doesn't stop. He's dangerous. I don't know if you guys do deliverance and cast out devils, but him and I used to cast devils out together every night. Not once a month or once a year, every night. There in Africa, they just manifest all the time. In America, they kind of hide away very well. But it's okay, we're not after the demons, we're after the people. Amen. The demons we sort out easily, that's okay. Already a whole bunch of them left down. Amen, but that's okay. So where was I? Yes, oh, I better say it. Pastor Harold Weitz sends all his love to you and the church and to Pastor Alex and his wife. And from Africa, we greet you, we salute you, we love you, we appreciate you. It's not a country that I've been to on the planet that is not supported by the American people in some form, shape, or fashion, whether it's the mighty dollar or the precious blood. So don't run yourselves down, please. In God you trust, and God bless America. Amen. I've just got one scripture and we're going to go for it very quickly. And so let's go. It's in Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 7. Let's see what happens. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse, I like it already. Therefore. So this is therefore something, but we're not going to go to the before stuff. Amen? Let's just keep to the there. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Please now let's get with me now. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. How many of you know the Holy Spirit speaks?
Yes.
He really does. Now, he will never speak anything or say anything contrary to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. That's why no revelation or no new little doctrinal teaching can violate the truth of the Logos Word. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, it is what we call rhema. Now, I know you all know this. You are very well taught in America. In fact, we were taught in Africa by Americans. Amen. The good old boys. Not all this funny stuff that some of the guys are coming up with today. But those good old boys that laid a foundation when you had that real move of God's Spirit. Remember that revival that shook out the planet. Okay? For those of us that remember, we remember it well. But the fact of the matter is this. Is that we all know that the English word, word, has two Greek words. In primary, which is logos and Rhema. We know that Logos is the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Logos, word of God, will never pass away. Amen. But then there's a word called Rhema. Rhema is that the letter that is breathed by the breath of God. Amen. When you speak this breath that goes with it. Unless you're like the devil who's got no breath. Or a parrot who has, when I'm talking about breath, I'm talking about spirit. The Bible often talks about the ruach of God in the Hebrew, the breath of God, the spirit of God, the wind of God. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit and you reading the word, you're studying the word, God speaks by his spirit in a variety of ways. Of course, number one, primarily he speaks through the word. Can we agree? And sometimes you read the Bible and it doesn't make any sense and you read it anyway. That's good because God hides a lot from you until he sees the intensity of your desire and your intention and you're hungry for his word. That is not a bunch of letters on a piece of paper. It's how it's presented to us. But that word is living. That word is fire, if you were here last night. And as he wills, he reveals, apokalypto. He takes the lid of that which has always been there for you to see. And then you get what we call revelation, aha. I know that God just spoke to me. And then usually what we do is we highlight it in our Bibles, except the very religious people who think that, okay, they... Okay, so, but anyway, most of us highlight it and then we put the date there and we know that God just spoke to us. Amen. It's Rhema. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, Rhema. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, Rhema. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Rhema. Okay? So he also speaks through visions and dreams. Acts chapter number 2. The Holy Spirit come upon you. When you get saved, he come within you. But you need power to be witness. You need the spirit of prophecy to testify or to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is any, am I boring you or what? Come on. Hey, what does that say? Oh yeah, you don't have to go there, but Revelation chapter number 19, verse 10 in the B part. We all know the story. John bowed down to the angel. The angel rebuked him, said, don't worship me, worship God, for the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ without his Holy Spirit. Satan can also quote the Bible, man. He knows it better than most Christians. There's no life in that. There's only condemnation in that. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul the Apostle talks about a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of righteousness. And the letter kills, which produces that ministry of condemnation. So when you take the Bible, the Logos, and there's no breath, it has the danger of becoming the power of condemnation and death. Or else you move into a realm of academic faith. Or a realm of demonic faith. How many of you know even the demons believe in God and tremble? They don't get saved for it, but they get more faith than most Christians. Amen, they've met. I'm not talking about saving faith now. I'm talking about trust. Faith. They know. Listen, they know God. I've got to try and get some kind of like something happening here. Because how many of you know that evil spirits know God? Yeah, they do. And they know some of you and some of you they've never heard of. Remember the sons of Sceva? When those religious dudes were trying to cast out the demons? The demons spoke and said through their vocal cords, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who the hell are you? They used the name of Jesus. I didn't say hell, but I just added. I'm just paraphrasing. And they beat them up. Okay, so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, how many of you know that your sons and your daughters will prophesy? Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and your men servants and your maid servants will prophesy. What does that mean? It means you have the ability to become the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where you're led by the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus, you get to a place where you say, I don't do anything of my own but what I see my Father do. In other words, you begin to move out of the realm of 2020 vision. Most Christians live only in the realm of 2020 vision. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous because then we're constantly eating from the tree of knowledge. And when we're constantly eating from the tree of knowledge, it has the beautiful ability to produce good. But it also has the unscrupulous ability to produce evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Prior to the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve didn't need an education. Because by the Holy Spirit, you just know. Apocalypto. Of course, then, you know, God can speak, of course, through a message. I'm not putting it necessarily in order. But you can come to a meeting and you can sit there. And I know most people don't even get 90% of what I preach, but you might just get one thing that explodes in your spirit and has the ability to forever change your life. When I got saved, I was demon-possessed, not demonized, demon-possessed. And that young Christian in that little dark alleyway, the demons inside of me said, kill him! And I thought, yeah, let's do it. You see. And I moved forward and I wanted to. I desired to. Death had been a part of my life, man. It's not like we haven't seen dead people. I've seen dead people. I said, I've seen dead people. I said, I see dead people. We've seen lots of death. Been part of lots of death. So to kill another one, when there's no one around, there's no cameras, let's do it. And he's a Christian. And I hated Christians and I hated their God. And I wanted to kill him. And while he's speaking to me, if you were here last night, you'll get it. But while he's speaking to me, I don't know what he's saying, but I do see fire coming out of his mouth. And I can't get close. Fire coming out of his eyes, and I can't get close. And a power like an invisible force, I can't get close. I was so shocked. I was so blown away by this young man. And I still looked at him and I said, what have you got that I haven't got? He said, I've got Jesus the Christ. I said, give him to me. That was on the 27th of January, 20 past 10, 1989. And he still pulled a little Bible out of his pocket and said, I'd like to read you a few scriptures. I said, you don't have to. I believe. I believe. Give him to me. He made me say some prayer. I don't even know what it was. Laid hands on me. boom, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to go, filled with peace, delivered and set free in 1 second by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of His Word. One young man opening his mouth to speak the Word, driven by the breath of God, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, not abracadabra or ABC, but Spirit to Spirit. God can speak through children. God can speak through sermons. So, can we all agree the Holy Spirit says? Can we all agree that the Holy Spirit speaks?
Yes.
Of course, never violating the Word of God. But if you understand the Word of God, you'll understand that from Newton's time, when the apple hit him on the head, we all know that he then began to study the Hebrew language and he discovered that every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. And we can go on and on and on, but let's leave that for the very clever guys that will come and tell you that stuff. But you're in the Word, and the Holy Spirit says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, I love it. Excuse me for getting so excited, because in the prophetic expression, today means whatever season you're in at that point in time. And you should anticipate that what you need is not just bread to survive, but the Word of God that is breathed into your very being. Because whatever darkness, whatever pain, whatever persecution, whatever trouble, whatever anxiety, whatever poverty, whatever it is you're going through, I want you to know something right now. There's power in the Word of the living God. The Word is not an academic letter. The Word is a person. His name is Yeshua Christos, Jesus the Christ, God come in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, and nothing was made that was made without Him. The Word is powerful. And in your today of sorrow, in your today of pain or shame or sickness or despair, the last thing Satan wants is for you to hear him say in your today. Why? Why? You are in your past. You are in your present. Satan was in your past, desperately trying to destroy you. Well, maybe not you, but for me for sure. Desperately trying to destroy me. And Satan is in the present, still trying to destroy me, because he is known as the destroyer. He did come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm not giving him any glory. I'm just telling you what God says about the thing. So I'm not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance is the devil's happy place. So he was in my yesterday. Oh, he tried to kill me many times. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. I'll do that. Ha, ha, ha. Because he did it to me too many times. Ha, 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 he would say. If I could swear, I would swear at him right now. Listen, man, when I got saved, after my salvation, not before, after. He took me. We were around a table and he sat on the other side and I sat on this side. And there was a book in the middle of the round table and he looked at me. And he said, I will not let you go. Your name is in my book of war. And I stood up and I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take my name out of your book of war. Yeah. okay? It was in a vision. Is there scripture for that? Yes, in Numbers. God has a book of war. He's terrified that you might hear God speak to you in your today. You see, God was in your yesterday. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I can't believe you're not happy about that. But anyway, He was out there. He was in my past. And God is in my present. But can I tell you something about God? He's in my future. And God is in my future. But Satan is not in my future. And I am not in my future. And that's why Satan is terrified that you might hear God speak to you in your today. He might speak to you, because if God speaks to you into your today of despair, of discouragement, of sorrow, of poverty, of sickness, of infirmity, whatever your today might consist of, my friend, Satan knows that what he say has the power to take you out of your today and thrust you into his tomorrow. Hallelujah. 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 When God speaks to you today, He doesn't speak to you necessarily in reference to your yesterday, unless He wants to get your attention concerning an issue. Have you ever noticed that when God, primarily, there are extreme cases, but as a rule, when God speaks, He never tells you about the problems. When He spoke to Israel, to the prophet Moses in Exodus chapter number 6, He never told them about the wilderness. He never told them about the giants. He never told them they're not even going to make it. Why doesn't He tell you about the problems? Because in the future where God is, there are no problems. Where God is, there is no sickness. There is no sorrow. So He comes into your today in the cool of the day, like the sound of a sound, like a mighty rushing wind. Yes. Suddenly tongues of fire. And His speech comes forth, recognized and understood by a people that are one. Yes. So that's why Satan is desperately trying to stop you from accessing the prophetic. From accessing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual essentials required according to Scripture to walk in that place. Because if you hear God's voice, how many of you know my sheep hear my voice? They know my voice. He doesn't come and speak in an audible voice. There's three voices that you will learn to discern as you mature. That's your voice, Satan's voice, and God's voice. And they're all kind of quite similar. I learned very quickly how to discern the difference between when God was speaking and when Satan was speaking. As God was training me. We don't have the time for that. But my point is, God wants to speak to you. What's the point? Can you imagine? I get married to my wife, and I give her a book and say, "There, I'm never going to talk to you again. Just read the book." Let me say that again, because some of you was like, "Huh?" Can imagine if I got married to my wife, my precious wife, Michaela, and I married her, and on the wedding night, even before the consummation, I give her a book, a thick one like that. Say, honey, I will never talk to you again. Anything you want to know, just read the book. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's kind of going to be a little lopsided affair. So God does give us a book. But that book is not a book. That book contains letters. In fact, it's actually one word, not like in the English or Zulu or French or Xhosa or Spanish or whatever. Africanese. No. It's one word if you study it. It's alive. It's living. But the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. I don't know if I'm making sense to you, but anyway, today, if, now watch what he says. Let me move on, okay? If you will hear his voice, in other words, if you choose to enter into relationship and communion with him according to his spiritual essentials and exercise yourself unto godlikeness, and you do these things, you will begin to hear. If your heart is pure and you have no motives and you're not into self-aggrandizement and not trying to be the guru and impress people and don't want placement and position, but you just want God. And he begins to speak to you. He says, if you will hear his voice. Watch what he says. Shocking. Do not harden your hearts. Why on the planet Earth would anybody harden their heart after they have chosen to sit in with the Lord and hear what the Holy Spirit says? Why would they harden their hearts? Because it just, for example, doesn't add up to their theology. Some cases. In some cases, it's just a bad attitude. In some cases, it's because, like the Israelites, they had a lot of everything. Remember, they were so negative. Please help me, people. You remember the Israelites were very negative. They were so negative, you could have taken them, put them in a dark room and developed them into a color photo. I mean, come on, these people were negative. Just think for a second. If you've been here every single night, you'll understand what God is closing this off with. These series of prophetic expressions. Negativity, when you begin to speak contrary to the will of God for a city, for a church, for a nation, for a family, you are in rebellion. That's what it's called. God promised them he would take them into the promised land. Is that right? Yes. Moses the prophet prophesied. Can we agree that Moses wasn't a false prophet? Yes. He prophesied that God would take them into the promised land. Can we agree that God's not a liar? Yes. Hallelujah. That's one third of you. That's true. He's not a liar. But something happened that the prophecy did not come to pass in their lifetime. The word of God, for those of you who don't know, will never return unto him void, but will accomplish that for which he sent it to do. But it does not have to come to pass in your lifetime. God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. However, he can change his mind. Amen. And he's changed his mind many times. I'll give you an example. Let's use Israel. There's many others. I don't have the time. I don't know what. I hate time. But how many of you know that entire group or nation or millions of people never inherited the promise? They got so close to it. And 12 of the leaders went out. This freaks me out, this story, man. And 10 of them come back with a, I'm not able mentality. And their perceptions are so skewed about their own identity within the promise as God's people. Come on now. That they only focused on the problems. That is one of the biggest threats to the church of the living God today on the planet, is they are so busy watching the media, so busy listening to all the negative, so busy hearing about all the stats and the problems and everything that's going wrong, and these things are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and these big giants are all around, and that's all they can see. And then they don't no longer hear the promises of God. They begin to harden their hearts, even if God says. It's one of the biggest frustrations of a prophet. I know when I prophesy, those people that I train in the prophetic, I'll tell you, I can leave a church and I know whether it's going to come to pass or not. Before I get to my car, I'm already weeping. Because I know in some instances, not yet, thank God, so far. And so be it, that it shall not be so. But bad attitudes and negative people. If you were here last night, their tongues start a fire that consumes and destroys and defiles. But the fact of the matter is this. Those leaders came back with a negative report. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we are well able. But they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in our own sight. Let me just say that again for those of you who don't know this. Most of the senior guys know, but many of you don't. They said, we saw ourselves, our perception of who we are, is we are grasshoppers in our own sight. That's not what God said. He says, I'll take you into the promised land. So the problems affected their 2020 vision, and there was no spiritual perception, no revelation, no illumination. They became hardened of heart. Is anybody out there? And they came back with a negative report and said, we are not able. How many of you know they didn't even listen to the prophet Moses, for goodness sake? I'm not as great as he is, and I know many people don't listen. That's okay. I just got to trust God. He'll get me there if I don't lose my temper like Moses. Even Moses didn't go in because the people made him so mad. Come and think about it. And you know what Josh and Caleb said? They said, we are well able. They said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs also. The way you perceive yourself is the way the enemy sees you. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And your thought process affects the spiritual atmosphere. It will either attract the Holy Spirit or repel him. And if you're grieving him, guess who's rocking up? Who's arriving? And their hearts become hardened. And they cannot believe that God is able through them to do anything. And so God gets so mad at them. I'm sorry to inform you that God does get a little mad. He got ticked off. And he said, well, Joshua Kelly first said, we are well able to go in and have these guys for breakfast, man. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And the whole congregation wailed and cried. And they all joined those 12 of the 12 leaders. And they all negative. And Joshua Kelly said, don't rebel against God. And then they wanted to kill them. We can't. We can't. We can't go in. We can't have revival. We can't cast out devils. We can't speak in other tongues. We can't get the can't out of you. Yes. Get it out of your vocabulary. You can. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will speak in other tongues in my name. They will cast out devils in my name. They will heal the sick in my name. They will raise the dead. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. You can do it. You are more than an overcomer. You are the head and not the tail. You are not over. It's not over. America, it's not over. It's just begun. So don't give up. The wilderness experience is a season within which to test you. We'll just leave it at that, as in the rebellion. In the day of trial, in the wilderness, But just put up one scripture for me, then I'm going to pray for the precious people, please. Am I doing all right? Please, give me a... You've got to encourage me a little bit. Come on. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 2, please. I'll close with this because I said something. I love you. I hope I'm not getting too hectic. But the wilderness experience that many of us have been going through, it's a season, in particular the senior guys, it's a test to prepare you. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Even Jesus was driven into the wilderness, not led, driven. Guess what the purpose of all that is? To humble you. To test you. To know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. His promises. I wish I had more time on the promises of God. My goodness, these few nights just went like that. It's like we just haven't even started. Man, oh man. I love you dearly, and this is awesome stuff, but you know what? The Holy Spirit says, and he's been speaking the whole week, and anybody who's a wise Christian will get the prophecies, record them, write them down, and understand that it's not given so that you can get goosebumps and fall over, although that may happen, but it's given to you as a sword of the Spirit, which in the Greek means judicial punishment of the breath, so that you can begin to fight for your city. According to, let me give them one more scripture, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 18, please, my darling. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 18. Last scripture that I'm going to pray for you. If you'll let me. This is Paul the Apostle. I'm sure we've all heard of him. He only wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. Okay. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, them what? Them prophecies. Do not despise prophecy. I heard myself 2 nights ago prophesying against these mamparas, whatever you call them, munchkins. Writing books. And it's blasphemy, my friend. When your perceptions are so skew, you cannot discern the difference between the Holy Spirit and the devil. You're a mess. You're a spiritual mess. There were some religious people around Jesus. He was casting out demons by the power of God. And the religious people looked and said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub. Their discernment of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the devil. And Jesus said, blasphemy against the Father. The word blasphemy means to speak evil of. Blasphemy against the Father will be forgiven you. Blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven you. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven you. What does that mean? It means this. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin and righteousness and of judgment. If you think the Holy Spirit is a devil, he can't convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if you ain't convicted, you've got an opinion. And if you've got an opinion, you've got a tongue that's put on fire by hell itself. Forever walking in rebellion to the will of God for the nation or the city or the time. Phew, this is hectic stuff. Please, it's called prophetic preaching, okay? If the shoe fits. I hate interrupting God. Where was I? Where were we? What did I say? Yes. So if you think, thank you, if you think the Holy Spirit is a devil, then you're only going to have an opinion, and all you're going to do is debate and argue and fight all the time. But if you are convicted, you'll change. Yes. And you'll die for a conviction.
Yes.
And if the Holy Spirit is in your perception a devil, then he will not be able to convict you of sin, for example. And then Jesus said, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven you. Why? There can be no forgiveness unless you change, unless you repent.
Yes.
And the people's hearts get so hardened that they think, oh, weird and wonderful things are now okay. And then suddenly they find themselves in hell. And those dudes that are writing that blooming shabalaka stuff, I wish I could get a hold of some of them. They're called demons of doctrine. Okay, let me just back off now. That's not my job. Whatever. And everybody said,
amen.
Please say amen.
Amen.
Which means I agree with you. Amen. I think so. Well, it's been hallelujah. All right. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your great, great love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. The qualities of the kingdom: righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So let the qualities of the kingdom locked up inside of each and every true believer in this place just be made manifest within.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.